Good. V'yiskadashtem v'yisim kadeshim. The parsha opens with speaks in the beginning of the parsha that you will sanctify yourself. Sorry, actually, it's at the end of the parsha. V'yisim kadeshim, and you will be holy. Or maybe bezek ve'et kedusha sadmur atzemach tzedek ve'et teira. The tzemach tzedek brings in a teira ala pasuk in his commentary on this pasuk. Masha'om razal. What is the deeper meaning of v'yiskadashtem? You should sanctify yourself. And after you sanctify yourself, then you'll be holy. So that Tzemach Tzedek links this to a saying of our sages, which is found in Maseches Brachos. And there, the Gemara on page 55 says, on the Pasuk, which is found in the prophecies of Ezekiel. There, Ezekiel describes the third Beis HaMikdash. And he talks about the Mizbeach. And he gives its dimensions. And then he goes on to say, Mizbeach, HaMizbeach, Eitz, V'goymer, the Mizbeach of wood, etc. And the Pasuk finishes off with the words, V'yedaber Elai, and God spoke to me, Zeh HaShulchan Shelefnei Havaya, this is the table before God. So the Gemara says, Kol Zman Shabeis HaMikdash Kayom, as long as the temple in Jerusalem stands, Mizbeach Mechaper Al Yisrael, the altar that consumed the offerings, brought atonement for the Jewish people. The Achshav says the Gemara, the meaning of this pasuk is that now, Shulchan Shalodah Mechaper Loi, a person's table serves to atone for him. Now the truth is that in the commentaries in the Gemara, there are two interpretations here. One is the table that you study Torah at, because usually people keep a sefer, a holy book at a table. But the overriding opinion is that it's not talking about a table that you study Torah at, because you can stand and study Torah too, but rather it's talking about the table that you eat at. And that's kind of where what the Tzemach Tzedek follows here. So we need to try to explain the connection between what the Gemara says and what this Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, sanctify yourself. V'hiskadashtem. And v'hiskadashtem, v'hiyisim kadeshim, then you'll be holy. So v'hiskadashtem is a verb. It's a call to action. You holy yourself, make yourself holy. V'hiyisim kadeshim, and then you will be holy. Tzemach Tzedek links this to a pasuk that speaks about the Mizbeach and the table and says that the Mizbeach brings atonement and now your table brings atonement. Yeah, what does that have to do with the Hiskadashtim, the Yisim Kadeshim? So the Rebbe suggests that the connection to this could be understood by virtue of a different saying of our sages. This is also in Masechet Brachot. This is actually two pages earlier. And interestingly, it's also brought in Eretz Torah. In of the Tzemach Tzedek in a different mimer. So the Gemara says like this, V'hiskadashtem, you will hallow yourself, make yourself holy, Elu mayim rishenim. These are the waters that are used to lave oneself before you eat. This is what we call proverbially washing for bread. That's V'hiskadashtem. V'hiyisim kidoshim, the Torah's statement, de facto, you will be holy. Elu mayim achreinim. These are the water or the washing of the fingertips before Bechat HaMazon. Mayim achreinim. Ani havaye elekeichem. I am the Lord your God. Zoi bracha. This is the concept of blessing, which it would seem incorporates the blessing after eating, which is biblical, as well as the blessings prior to eating, which is rabbinic. But this is the concept of blessing. So v'hiskadashtem, you'll make yourself holy, refers to the washing of the hands before eating. V'hiyisim kadeshim refers to the mayim achrenim, the washing of the hands after eating. And then there's this notion of ani Hashem Elokeichem, the concept of bracha. U'mizeh muvan, from this is understood, sheshleimus shulchanei shel adam, that a person's table, to be intact and perfect, haynu inyan ha-se'uda shebeshulchan. In other words, the notion of the meal, the feast, the repast at the table, hidafka al yedei v'yiskadashtim v'yisim kadeshim, is only when there is holiness. And how do you have this holiness? So this holiness cannot be manufactured in the kitchen. This holiness has to be manufactured in the dinette, the dining room. It's how you approach the meal. If you wash first, then the meal can be holy. If you wash after, then the meal can be holy. If there's a concept of bracha, then the meal is holy. Otherwise, then it's not holy. In other words, like this. There are different opinions as to what this table talks about. Clearly, the Tzemach Tzedek follows the school of thought that the table talks about the concept of eating. On a literal level, just by the way, we're not trying to get people to eat an extra dinner. This is not about eating more. Rather, it's about feeding others. That's what the commentaries explain. It says called Hamayrich B'Shulchanei. Anybody who spends a lot of time at his table, but at mealtime, Mayrich and Loi, he'll have a longer life. Sounds kind of weird. It's like a reward for sitting at the table, for chewing slowly. So the Mefarshim explain, because if you spend more time at your table is a place where there's room for others. A person who eats hit and run, he grabs somebody to eat as he's running into the car, he's never going to be able to invite anybody to join him for lunch. Why? Because he doesn't sit down to lunch. But a person who sits down to lunch can have somebody else sit down and join him. So in this way, people who don't have lunch will get lunch. The poor people will be invited to the table. That's why it says, imagine if a person will eat on Shabbos, just knock off the meal, and go right away to study Torah. Which you could do, technically. Where will the guests go? Where will the people who don't have what it be for Shabbos go? This guy can't be bothered. He's going right back to the library. He's going to sit and learn Torah. So the idea of spending time at your table invariably ensures that others get to eat too. So that's the literal meaning, or how we understand, Zeh HaShulchan Shlofnei Hashem, that it brings atonement. It's really the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's a mitzvah of hospitality. But because the Rebbe links it to this pasuk of Hiskadashtim V'yisim Kadeshim that speaks about the concept of laving, of washing hands before and after, and because the idea of Zeh HaShulchan Shlofnei Hashem, according to the Tzemach Tzedek, is also linked to this pasuk, so the Rebbe says, then this becomes the idea. Eating is a good thing. It's fine. Spend time. And when you spend time, you'll make sure others also are able to enjoy. However, in order for it to be a holy experience, a holy diet, then there needs to be the concept of Netilat Yadayim and the concept of Bracha. V'zeu gam hakesher minyan kedusha. This is the point of what the idea of holiness. How does that get to holiness? Well, why holiness of all things? You could say a person could be holy about anything. If he jogs for a holy purpose and he wants to be healthy and he wants to be able to come and have strength to study Torah, do mitzvahs, it's also holy. You could have holy jogging shoes. What makes the table holy? How did that become the primary thing of holiness? So the Rebbe says this is all connected to the concept of Kedusha, the way it's explained in our Torah portion. That says Kedushim to you. Should be holy. And Rashi says, holy. What is the meaning of holy? Why in this Torah portion suddenly are we discussing holiness? Everything we do is holy. I mean, the Torah is holy. All the mitzvahs are holy. Eating matzah is holy. So what is when God comes along and says, I want you to be holy now. What do you want us to do differently? We've been doing up until now. We got a Torah. We accepted mitzvahs. So Rashi says, Parshas Kedoshim, this is where we start talking about prohibited intimacies. This is where we have Purushim Tiyam and Harayis. You have to separate yourself from the idea of licentiousness. Umin HaAveda, and from the concept of contravening of God's will. And that's specially linked to the concept of food. Why? Because what we're speaking about, we say Purushim and Harayis, Umin HaAveda, to separate yourself from licentiousness, separate yourself from sin. What we're really talking about is a person who doesn't live a gluttonous life. We're talking about a person who to live a holy life is a life which is not steeped in self-gratification and in sensual and carnal pleasure, but a person for whom life rises and sets on carnal pleasure. How much fun can I have right now? Life's about who can have the most fun. And whoever ends life with the most fun, you know, wins the game. That's not the game of life from our perspective. The game of a life from our perspective is whoever makes the biggest impact in this world wins the game, so to speak. How many people's lives did you change? How much Torah did you study? How many mitzvahs did you perform? How many times were you able to interrupt the coming and going of life and focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the Almighty in prayer? But food in and of itself has the ability to bring a person down. Why? Be'inyin ha'achila, when eating isn't kiddubay, when eating isn't the way it should be, yachali is gaminyin ha'aveda. It can very easily become the segue into sin. K'may merazal, this is in accordance with yet another teaching from the Gemara at Maseches Brachos. This is found on page 32. The Gemara says over there, Mile kreisa zine bishi. Stuffing yourself, eating to the point of beyond satiation, is a sin of sorts. It's a sin of sorts. And the Gemara has like four different ways where we get this from. And the point there is this. There are no atheists in the foxholes. Out of deprivation, nobody acts in a rebellious way. But when people eat, proverbially and literally, and they're sated, and they're full, and they're satisfied and happy, full themselves, this is when we end up in the situation of sin. So the Gemara says in general, overeating is a key to sin. It's a sin of sorts. V'lochein, therefore, if a person is to be holy with regard to lifestyle, one of the first things in which a person has to show restraint is the idea of mealtimes, eating. V'lochein tzarech li'es inyan shel perishus. There has to be somewhat of a separateness. You have to be able to pull back. You have to be able to push away from the table. Some people can't. They can't stop eating. Shezeu, how does a person have the koyach? That the meals should be something that he controls instead of being controlled by it. That the food is something that you're in charge of, not the food's in charge of you. How do you do that? So this is Aydei Mayim, Rishayim, Mayim Achrayim. This is through the laving. When a person washes his hands before, so the meal is purposeful. Then he makes a bracha. He washes his hands again. He makes a bracha. So the idea of Mavayar Sham, this is the concept of Mayim Achrayim and Mayim Rishayim, Mayim Achrayim. So up until this point, what the Rebbe has really done for us is shown us how the concept of the table, which is Tzemach Tzedek linked to a story of a Mizbeach, which this is somehow connected to his Kadashtim, Visim Kadeshim, is a perfectly logical progression. Because Vishkadashtim Visim Kadeshim is about washing. And because food tends to spin out of control, or people eating food spin out of control, and they lose all kind of restraint. And because it's important for a person to be able to get a grip on himself, how do you do that? Through the concept of washing. And washing is alluded to by Vyaskadash and Vyasim Kadesh. Now, there's another element over here. The element over here is, we didn't talk about this at all, the idea of kapara, the idea of atonement. How does food affect atonement? Umavar Sham, the Tzemach Tzedek further goes on to explain, the notion of atonement which comes through the table. He says first, well, you're saying, what does that mean? How could your table bring atonement? So Tzemach Tzedek says, and how does the Mizbeach bring atonement? We said, just like the Mizbeach brings atonement, your table could bring atonement. So the question then becomes, okay, how does the Mizbeach bring atonement? You just say, I don't understand. How can mealtimes bring atonement? So what says, okay, fine, let's talk about the carbon itself. So the Gabi Mizbeach, with regard to the Mizbeach, Amr Razal, we have a famous teaching of our sages, which is found in Masechet Ksubot, and it says over there, Mizbeach maziach gzerot, the Mizbeach turns away evil decrees. In other words, it serves to protect us. It shields us. Umazin umechaviv, it sates and makes us, endears us to Hashem. And finally, mechaper avonis, it atones for sins. It cleanses us of sin. From the fact that we can see that maziach, mazin, umechaper, that the primary function of the mizbeach is the concept of kapara. V'chein muvan, mimasha omru b'medesh, what says in the medesh that mizbeach is a rosh tevis, is an acronym. Mizbeach, the altar. What's the acronym for? So the medesh says, mem stands for mechila, forgiveness. Zion stands for zuchut, or merit. Bay stands for bracha, the idea of blessing. And ches stands for chayim, for life. The Rosh HaTeva Shom Mizbeach, what's the first letter of the Mizbeach? The letter Mem. And that's Hainu'ina Mechila. That's forgiveness. Mechila, which is the idea of kapara. So we see that the primary function of a Mizbeach is the idea of kapara. The primary function of the Mizbeach is the concept of the kapara. So it is also with the person's table that becomes a primary function. Now this needs, of course, to be understood. And so the next chapter is Ubir HaInyan. What does this mean? As he explains, Tzugizunt and the continuation of Maimer. The Hine, Klolus Inyan, Avedis HaKarbonis, the general concept of the Aveda, the service of Karbonis. Shalom Mizbeach, which is on the Mizbeach. Toichne hi Avedis HaBirudim. What is the content? What does it mean? You put something in the Mizbeach. Like, what happens there exactly? And the answer is that the world as we know it, as God created it, is a mixture. It's a mixture. Which means that in everything there is good and there is not good. And what our world needs is refinement. Because in order to have what's good, you have to be able to refine it. So you remove the toxins, the things that are not good, and then what do you end up with? You're left with the good. That's called refinement. When you pull fuel out of the ground, if you put it straight into your car, in a very short amount of time, your car will clog and essentially die. Why? Because the fuel is full of toxins. And the sediment of the toxins is going to destroy the engine. So what do they do when they pull fuel out of the ground?
Crude.
What do they do to the crude?
They make it into
refined fuel. How do they do that? They refine it. And there's a number of different things. The simplest method of refinement is actually burn off the toxins. Those countries that charge us have no problem with emissions. They have no problem with the CO4 or whatever it is. They can burn whatever they want. Nobody says anything to them. Then it comes here and they make us sugar. So they burn it off. And then they actually cleanse it. You go to the gas station, you got three different kinds of gas. Why do you have three different kinds of gas? Because one of the gas, the simple gas, the 87, has gas. It's got sediment. So they don't charge you as much. Because the sediment is not good for your engine. And besides the fact that it's not good for your engine, you're getting stuff you can't use. Then you have 93, 91, 93, they're the highest level. That gas is very refined. So there's less gas coming out of the crude. It's better for your engine. Drive a fancy car. You want to make sure you're buying good gas because you want to make the car last. At the same time, though, because the refinement process went through more refinement, what happens is there's less of it. The more we refine something, the less of it there is. And this is just a silly example. But the same is true with regard to flour. It's about getting rid of the bran, refining things. People will tell you the bran is actually good for you. That's fine. The point is, though, it's not. They can be refined. And then you can super refine things. Everything from vodka to gas, from flour to diamonds, to gold, to precious metals, everything needs refinement. That's the way the Eibishter created the world. He created a world that requires refinement. Now, if it's like this in a physical and material sense, it's a simple logic that it must be like this in a spiritual sense. Because the material...
Mizbeach, a refining process?
Mizbeach is a refining process. It's exactly what it is. That is, it's a refining mechanism. And here's the interesting way this refinement goes. Since it's not physical refinement, so physicality requires the notion of being on site. You can't kind of refine something long distance. It doesn't work that way. But you can perform spiritual refinement for something even though it's not here. So the Mizbeach, it says, takes one animal, and that animal, through its refinement, ends up elevating the entire animal kingdom. One fistful of flour and ends up elevating the entire kingdom of vegetation. One handful of salt, it ends up elevating the entire kingdom, the mineral kingdom. And of course, when people are involved in doing this, the Kohen representing Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael ultimately enriching the lives of all humanity. And we have many examples of this, like the famous thing that on Sukkot we bring offerings on behalf of all the nations of the world. So we're affecting a refinement. And the refinement process has a much bigger impact. It's a big footprint, if you will. It's not just localized. So this could be like, for example, when a person is in a good mood, it affects even his feet. You walk differently, you jump differently, you're able to dance. So your feet are lifting because you're in a good mood. In a good mood, like physically, it's very hard to identify what exactly happened in your brain is a good mood. Maybe it's a chemical called serotonin. Maybe it's like something very refined, in a tiny, tiny, almost microcosmic fashion. There's a change, and that tiny change in the brain affects a change in the whole body. When a person's happy, everything goes differently. So the Mizbeach, Yerushalayim is like the head, and the Mizbeach is the brain. The Beis HaMikdash is the brain. So in the Beis HaMikdash, when things are good in the Beis HaMikdash, it affects the entire body, ultimately, which is the whole world. So that's what the Mizbeach is. The Mizbeach is about Birur, V'yadu, and it's known, Sheb Mizbeach Beis Achilus, that the Mizbeach actually has two processes of consumption. Consumption is a form of refinement. What happened on the Mizbeach? It got burnt. That's a form of refinement, like you burn off the toxins. But there's another kind of refinement that's Mizbeach related. What's that? The eating. Your eating is a form of refinement. Your digestive system is the most magnificent refinement machine ever seen in the face of Earth. Your kishkas are miles long. They can accomplish amazing things. It takes food which without the digestive process could in no way enable a person to live. And through the refinement process, it actually turns it into plasma. It turns it into fat, into human cells. That's what the refinement process is. And the Mizbeach requires consumption, and consumption is refinement. And there are beis achilas. There's the achila of koyanim and achila of bail. There's the koyanim, they have their business of eating. Like it says, the koyanim eat. A korban chatas, a sin offering, and the Jewish people who brought the korban are atoned for. And then there's the concept of the owners, the people who bring the korban eat. So the beis achilas and the mizbeach. And then there's this notion. So this is all really one, you know, the people eating, this kind of people eating, that kind of people eating. The Rebbe goes on to say that the eating of the koyanim is like a mamutza, it's like an in-between process. And the second is the achilas hamizbeach, the consumption of the fire. And that's quite literal, that the fire actually consumes it. And what language do we use to describe the fire on the mizbeach? Achila. The area of the where the fire burns is called the ma'achelas. It eats up the korban. And this is called achila shalomayla. This is called a consumption, so to speak. Obviously, euphemistically, proverbially, in an anthropomorphical manner, the idea of divine eating, God's eating. Like it says in the pasuk, as korboni, God says, my korban, lachmi, my bread, liishai, my fire offering. Reach nichoyach l'Hashem, this is a pleasing aroma to God. And what's the pleasing aroma? Nachas ruach lefanei shamarti, v'naseh tzeini. I said, I ordered, and my will was done. So on a person's table, there must also be a reflection of these two different kinds of eating, or the two different kinds of refinement. And the Tzemach Tzedek explains that there actually are. What are the two ideas? So he says, number one, a person's shulchan is like a mizbeach because there's a concept of tzedakah, as I explained. That's number one. This is explained by the Sefer Teilas Yaakov and the Maharsha. Number two, I mentioned this before, that the table also represents the concept of Torah. Study Torah on a table. And really specifically, Torah study is something we should be engaging in during mealtimes. Like it says, a shulchan, a table where people spend time talking Torah together, this is a wonderful thing. But if a table where there's no words of Torah being spoken, it's an empty table, and it says worse. So essentially what we described here in the vernacular is the idea of feeding somebody else and a fabrengen. The most effective way of sharing words of Torah is that everybody's eating. Because everybody's guard is down, everybody's more receptive, and words of Torah can be exchanged and can be absorbed in a whole different manner. And so this is what the eating of the table is about. We have both concepts. It serves as a springboard, a vehicle for Torah dissemination, and it becomes a springboard and a vehicle for the concept of achnasa sarchem. And the Rebbe goes on to emphasize that specifically, the achnasa sarchem is a higher form of tzedakah. It's better than cash. How do we know this? Because the Gemara in Bracha says that a person is poor and he needs something, okay? So he comes along and somebody gives him a few dollars. But then the Gemara goes on to talk about a famous sage named Rabbi Meir and his wife, and the Gemara says that her tzedakah was higher. Why? Because Rabbi Meir gave somebody a buck. Beruria, his wife, gave somebody food. You can't eat a dollar. Food is just a medium through which you can purchase the life-sustaining and nourishing elements. Whereas the food is, in and of itself, already life-sustaining. So therefore, there's this virtue the Gemara says, itza shchicha bebeisa, the woman would be at home, v'yoev riftalani, she has to give bread to the poor person. He's able to enjoy it in a much more immediate fashion. Whereas the Baal, the husband, gave him money somewhere in the street. So therefore, the Rebbe says, this represents the concept of tzedakah on the table, and the tzedakah on the table is a higher form of tzedakah. And this mirrors the two forms of the eating of the Mizbeach. The concept of the Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach eats, which is like Torah, and the concept of the Mizbeach, that people eat, which is like the idea of Gemilas Chasadim. And we're really running out of time.
Isn't the quintessential Hachnasat Orchim beginning with Avraham Avinu?
The quintessential paradigm of Hachnasat Orchim is Avraham Avinu.
Food to visit.
Absolutely. But this goes two ways, because Avraham Avinu also used the food to do what? To teach. To spread the word of Hashem. Avraham was a master forbringer, not just a master chef. So he fed the people, but also used it to be able to influence them. So both that's your both ideas of your table. And this, my dear friends, is about a diet of holiness. And this is how Kedusha is manufactured in the kitchen. Because it's through the table and through the food that ultimately we can bring about a transformation which is nothing short of the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. And with this, we shall conclude. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today and all week. Hashem should help us. We should be able to enjoy the great meal with Mashiach, the meal of the Levyasan. B'mheira u'b'yameinu amen.